This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Hope your Wednesdays are going great.
I'm glad you remembered.
I remembered. I know. I've been trying to do wrestling music for Peyton. I kept forgetting.
This is a big deal to you.
This is a big deal. He's a wrestling guy. We were wrestling guys when we were kids. So, you know, you want to have the synergy there. Got a chance to see him this weekend. And seeing Peyton in person, it's a big deal. He's like a presidential candidate.
Yeah,
man.
You said you were nervous to say hi.
Everybody's
kept talking
around
to him.
He's got wads of big league chew in. Oh, yeah. He's hanging with the bussing with the boys guys. You got to kind of wait in line to go get close to him. It's a whole thing.
Also wearing shades, which is are you cool enough to come talk to me?
Because
I'm cooler than you.
I'm definitely not cool enough to talk to the commissioner of college football, but we are cool enough to talk to him every Wednesday on the show. Josh Pate, CFB. Josh Pate's college football show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock on YouTube. Check the podcast wherever you get it. We asked you, Pate, last week, are you ready for what Autzen was going to bring? And we'll get to how you've pissed off the rest of the country on your comments on this. Just your thoughts and what a game Saturday night at Autzen.
I have been looking forward to this radio hit where we can just slobber all over that game Saturday since its conclusion. It was wonderful. It was magnificent. Dare I say, it was life-changing, and you know how rarely I delve into the hyperbolic. Yeah. I don't know if you can fully appreciate the flack that I've taken for committing the crime of telling the truth to the rest of the country about Autzen Stadium, but I have done that. I will embrace the hostile college football public if that's what it takes to properly convey what we all experienced up there last Saturday. And oh, by the way, Oregon won a pretty big game as well. Yeah.
I want to ask you very quickly, because you went to Washington, Oregon last year, and you had talked about how loud Husky Stadium got, especially on those fourth down moments. How do you, because I said Monday, I can't parse out noise past a certain point. Eventually my ears are ringing, it's all loud, I don't know how to differentiate it. Can you do that? Can you hear a difference past a certain point and say, no, Autzen is indeed the loudest Big Ten venue?
Well, I know that you have recency bias, so the most recent sounds the most loud or loudest. That game at Husky Stadium last year was wild. I think the difference with this one this past Saturday is there was a moment there. There were a couple of sequences where there were multiple false starts followed by positive plays for Oregon, and that works a crowd into an absolute frenzy. And so at that moment, I don't know what in the world people are doing with decibel readings. So I trust a scoreboard decibel reading like I trust the National Enquirer in a checkout line. So I could not care less about decibel readings. But if we were keeping them officially, yeah, that moment I felt like Oregon peaked more so than Washington did. But that's not to take away anything from that place, because Washington was insanely loud, as any Oregon fan who made that trip knows.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I made that comment on Monday. It felt like that drive, maybe third one of the game for Ohio State, they had those false starts, the delay of game on the punt. It felt like that was the moment that some of the volume peaked, obviously, until near the end of the game. Now, you've been getting it from all over the country by saying a place you've been is loud to people who have not been to that place, which I have found quite funny. I did want to ask, though. Now, I know that the JP poll is a poll. It's not a power rating. It's not a ranking. How have my brethren in the state of Oregon handled what you did last night and your latest JP poll?
Well, let's get it clear now. I didn't do anything. The computer did.
It's true. Very true.
I just delivered the news. You know,
right.
I don't take the blame. I just take the credit.
Yeah.
So It's very simple. It's not really all that controversial. Good luck telling the comment section that. If I'm ranking teams, Oregon's ahead of Ohio State today. But if I'm power rating them, if I'm doing nothing more than gauging neutral field favorability, it's as easy as me calling FanDuel and asking them what the game would be today on the neutral field. And they told me we would put Ohio State as a 2.5-point favorite today. Well, that's the end of that. I put Ohio State above Oregon. That's the difference in a power rating and a ranking. Now, how have our friends in Northwest, in Oregon taken it? They've taken it fine because they almost don't even care. I don't think I got – I don't even remember any negative comments on it. They basically said, yeah, we get it. We just beat them on the field. We'll okay. do it again. We're fine with it. We're good. I mean, we beat them having lost Birch moments before the game seemingly, so we'll be all right. Thanks okay. for – thanks for coming.
Lanning was in the video that Oregon sent out yesterday, obviously fired up. You saw it in person post-game. It clearly looked like a guy that wanted that win, not only for himself, but, you know, to help his team believe. I could ask you about Oregon, but I actually want to ask you the other side of that. Ohio State came in as the favorite. They came in largely regarded as maybe the best roster in college football. What surprised you about what Ohio State could not do or how they looked on Saturday against Oregon?
Well, it's the second part. It's not what they couldn't do because they ran the ball for 120 in the first half, and then they really got away from it, and they got away from it to the tune of 19 yards rushing in the second half. Now, a lot of that has to do with Oregon. I'm not trying to take anything away from Oregon, but also just the way the game was called in the second half was more indicative of what you would do if you were playing catch-up. And Ohio State was not playing catch-up. In fact, for a vast majority of the second half, they had the lead, and it was always a one-possession game. This was never a two-possession game at any point, I don't think. So that surprised me. And then the other part is there was no – in these kind of games, there's no knockout blow. It's just the cumulative effect of small wins here and there. Dan Lanning talked about jabs after the game. I was sitting there in team meetings with him Friday. That's all they talked about is we don't need haymakers. Our jabs are good enough. We don't need to do anything extraordinary. Who we are is good enough. And Ohio State believed the same thing. And so it's not any one decided advantage. No one dominated the game one way or another. But it did surprise me that Oregon was the team that owned it more on the line of scrimmage, because that is very much in the wheelhouse of what Ohio State should be able to have and should be able to travel with. And you know what? If they play the game again, maybe it's different, but I don't know that they'll play the game again. I just know what I watched Saturday night. So those things maybe mildly surprised me.
Interesting. We're talking with Josh Pate. Josh Pate's College Football Show every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock, live on YouTube. You can check the podcast wherever you can find it. He is a defender of Autzen Stadium. For that, we will always love him. He's the commissioner of the sport, and we get to talk to him every Wednesday at 7:40. You got into something, Pate, on your show Sunday that was an interesting note that I hadn't really thought about going into the game as a positive for Oregon, and I'm as a honk as you can get. The coaching advantage in terms of assistance, it felt like there was a strong advantage for Ohio State coming into this game. You got Chip Kelly, what he's meant to offensive football, Jim Knowles, and that's supposed to be the guy that's going to solve all their woes at Ohio State. Like, it felt like at a coordinator spot, they had a major advantage. You kind of went into that Sunday about how you didn't feel like they won that, and maybe Oregon had the coaching advantage going in. How big is that for Dan Lanning? I mean, this win is obviously massive, but in that kind of matchup, thinking that Ohio State almost has three head coaches, and then you have on Oregon's sideline Tosh Sapoy, who's mainly known as a good recruiter and a guy who faked injuries back in the day against Oregon, and Will Stein's kind of an unknown nationally. How big of a surprise was that to you?
It was a pretty mild surprise. I can tell you, to a lot of people in the coaching world and in the agent world and the coaching search firm world, it was a pretty big surprise. Like, they thought that one of the big edges Ohio State had here, and they're not wrong to believe this, is that the cumulative experience on the Ohio State side, having Chip Kelly as an OC, having Jim Knowles, I mean, completely gray hair as a defensive coordinator, and then Ryan Day as the head coach, they thought that was going to be a big advantage there. And, I mean, you look at the way that game matched up. What a night for Taj Lupoi. Like, what a resume game for him. What a resume game for Will Stein. And then the Dan Lanning, Ryan Day thing, that's what gets the headlines. But it's really the way they've staffed, and it's the way that they've put their organization together. That's where a head coach's merit is reflected on game day. And then – you'll have some decisions that get made, some clock management stuff. But I was really more focused on the support staffers. Well, that's an area that I'm telling you, a lot of folks expected Ohio State to have the edge in, and they did not.
You know, sometimes you need to see a game happen, I think, to get a good feel of it. You've watched all of the college football. You go to great venues every weekend. I know you believe in Oregon. You picked Oregon to win this game this past weekend. I'm just curious, as somebody who has seen a lot of these teams in person, 3 years ago, Oregon got their teeth kicked in by Georgia. They were not close to that level of talent. Has Oregon made that leap enough for you to say they can beat anybody in America on any given Saturday in any playoff game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if they play Georgia again today, that would be a complete dogfight game. I don't care where they play it. So the gap's never as big as it looks. We score in threes and sevens in this sport. So you can have some areas that you fall short in magnified, and you end up losing the game by 50, and it's just you think you'll never get there. Well, that's really not how wide the gap is. The gap is as big as recruiting a couple of good classes, making a couple of staff changes, and then whatever happens on the other side of the country happens, and all of a sudden you're there. I'll tell you, one of the great testaments of that is Brent Venables, year one at Oklahoma, gets beat by Texas by 50, and the very next year they beat him outright. So, I mean, what changed? Did 50 points worth of team change? No, it's just the way the sport works. So it's the same with Oregon right now. And then the other part of that is, it's ironic, I just mentioned the Red River game, because Dylan Gabriel played his best game against Texas last year, and lo and behold, in his biggest moment this year, he's played his best game so far. Evan Stewart, same way, steps up as big as he's stepped up all year. And what you'll notice about these big-time programs is that age-old adage that gets way overused, even though it's true, is the big-time player stepping up in the biggest moments. Well, that happens with the best teams. So if that is a hallmark of Oregon football, then I can reliably sort of extrapolate that forward. I can rely on them being 110% of their performance level in the biggest moments. And if I can rely on that, Oregon's good enough to play with and beat probably anyone in the country on any given Saturday.
Yeah, that was something going into the game that gave me some confidence with Gabriel and his performances in big games and kind of throwing some of those dud interceptions out, and he was outstanding on Saturday night. Now,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You love 2007. We love 2007. It was a fever dream for anybody that was alive and remembers. It was my freshman year of college and just an incredible year. Oregon was one of the teams that got to number two before Dennis Dixon's knee snapped in half. We have hoped that maybe we could have another year like that in the sport. Feels like maybe we're trending on that this year, where Georgia's shown a vulnerability. Alabama, hell, Oregon, for as good as that win was, they barely beat Idaho and Boise in the first 2 weeks of the season. You have to have, and you've argued this, you can't have an elite team in order to have a 2007. Does Texas doing what you think they're going to do this weekend erase that narrative and they are the elite team?
It would if they do what I think they're going to do. And for the uninformed portions of the audience, I think Texas is going to beat and handle Georgia. That's what I think they're going to do. Now, as you guys know, there has been a time or two throughout recorded history where I've been wrong. So if I'm wrong on this and Georgia goes in there and wins, we are in a world immediately where every team has looked vulnerable and most of them have a loss. Bama plays Tennessee this weekend. You got Georgia, Texas. We just had Ohio State, Oregon, which is a beautiful thing because we're knocking all these big-time versus big-time matchups out early in October and mid-October. So by Halloween, we may have abject chaos, which is very Halloweenish if you think about it. So I think that Georgia-Texas game is really big because it goes from us feeling like a bunch of chaos funneling towards an inevitable result to a bunch of chaos funneling towards who knows what. That's the difference in having an elite team versus not having any.
I know the game isn't necessarily on the radar of some of those big games, Bama, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, but the AQ spot, Boise's having a nice run here. They damn near beat Oregon. JNT looks like he's going to break every record and at least be in New York as a Heisman finalist. UNLV lost a very close game against Syracuse a couple weeks back, but they've continued rolling even without their quarterback. They're coming to Corvallis. The Beavs just got ran all over by Nevada. I'm curious, are you keeping an eye on these AQ teams, these teams, the Army-Navies who are undefeated, the teams that will potentially find their way in the playoff and may be in an upset spot? Are you following what they're doing this season, and will you be following what they're doing this weekend?
Big time. And I'll tell you what's on the horizon, not to play look ahead, but I can afford to do it because all I have to do is talk for a living. There is a game next Friday night in Las Vegas. It's Boise and UNLV. And if you have UNLV able to get that win this weekend, you are going to probably set up a situation where the Friday night game is maybe the G5 game of the year. And it could be, in fact, it will be, that the team that emerges from that one would probably be, in that scenario, the favorite to make it as the G5 AQ. So, and there's a lot of acronyms in college football these days, I just realized. So I'm looking forward to that one because also I've gone to a G5 game once in my entire tour history, and that was UCF at Tulane a couple of years ago, but never a Friday night game. And all I can tell you is it's on the radar for next weekend. Ooh. That's all I can say right now.
That is a fun matchup.
A little Friday night weekend in Vegas.
I think Paige just wants Vegas.
Who can say no to Las Vegas, man? Josh Pate, he's the commissioner of the sport. Catch his show, the Josh Pate College Football Show, every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, 5 o'clock on YouTube. Check the podcast wherever you find it. Great to see you this weekend, man. Thanks for the wonderful comments about Autzen and spreading the word of our great stadium and program across the country. We always enjoy the time and can't wait to catch up with you again next Wednesday.
I appreciate it, guys.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.